Okay, class, settle down. I know it's the first day, but we've got a lot to get through. The earth is flat. The devil is real. The sun is crazy. And that is everything that we know. Congratulations, graduates!
That's it?
Well, no. You still owe tuition.
TBTL!
It's not great. It's fantastic. You totally undersold it. The pageantry, the costumes, wow.
I can't do that much jokes because nobody laughs at me.
Targets, targets.
Wah! Hoo! Ha! Hee! Ha! Oh my god! Bah! Ha! 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 Oh my god! That is a terrible feeling. Of coldness.
Actually, you know what? I could email you. Or, you know, you could email me at split2@splitnet.net. Split one's my father. I mean, it'll be sad to see him go, but it'll be nice to get my hands on that handle.
Well, hello there. Good morning and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Oh, la, la.
Coming to you from the comfortable confines of the offices of Walsh, Walsh, and Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. It is episode 3092 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
You may have heard of iHeartRadio. They're, I believe, the largest conglomeration now of radio stations in America. And I'll tell you what they don't heart. They do not heart their local DJs.
We're getting medium play on three independent radio stations in Central Europe.
They have laid off about 1,000 people that are producers and also the folks that are coming on during afternoon drive and in the morning and teeing up the next song by Pitbull or whatever the format might be. We'll ask if DJs matter anymore here on this Thursday edition of the show. Also, I've got a new inspirational person that I'm looking towards and to help me, I don't know, be better in my life. She is a 75-year-old uphill skier named Sharon.
Oh, shit. Things are hard.
Yes, uphill skiing is a sport, and yes, a 75-year-old lady named Sharon from Colorado is very good at it. So we'll tell you her story. Plus, it's a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blursday, so we'll do some Blursday messages. We'll do all of that with the help of this guy. Oh, he is a hilarious dog. He is the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. He knows his way around hella henny hangovers.
nice.
Has he been outside in a week?
The answer, sadly, is not yes.
He is Andrew Walsh. He's joining me right now from just across the table. Thank you for picking up that reference that I just dropped right at your feet.
Man. Bringing some Michael Christmas into yes. the intro of the show. You've been listening to that record?
On repeat.
Oh, nice.
My friend.
Baggy Eyes 2, it's called, right?
Man, yeah. In fact, it was just a week ago. I was here in this room with you, and we were doing music for your weekend, I believe. And you were playing this Baggy Eyes 2 record, this particular track called Worth It. And I got in the car, and I downloaded the record, and then immediately started just like, let's be honest, dangerously texting you from the road going, this is so good!
Tick, tick. Did
yeah,
you hear
man.
The... I told you, I'm sorry, we have somebody we should introduce here in a moment, but...
Oh, we do?
Be patient. Luke and I never have a chance to talk to each other.
Thank you.
I told you that there is a track on there where they use a sample from a TV show and they drop it in there to complete one of his rhymes. Did you end up hearing that?
I don't know if I've caught that one yet. I've been listening for it, though.
It's a song called Sister, Sister.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And
it's from the like Nickelodeon or whatever that
yes.
Sister, Sister show with those women who are actual sisters, right?
Yes, and apparently they had a catchphrase, "Go home, Roger," which is how they got rid of one of their annoying friends. And anyway,
that's a great catchphrase.
Listen to that song, yeah.
Let's grab that audio.
Yeah, go home, home, Roger.
Hey, we do have a special guest here with us today, a person well familiar to all of the listeners, at least the OG listeners, one of the founders of this very program, Japan's number one mixer.
Yeah, make me a filet mignon, or mignon.
Mr. Sean Ditore joins us. Hello.
Hey, thanks for that special little accent on my last name. That's
sometimes
so fancy.
I just like to zhuzh it up
yeah,
a little bit.
Sean Ditore.
I think we should yeah. put a little, well, maybe you just put an accent mark over the E.
Okay.
Or what happens when you take an E and you put a little squiggle on the bottom of it, like a tail? Isn't that a thing?
I think it turns into
that's actually, I think that might be like Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
There's a zhuzh. Ooh, yeah. There's a little zhuzhy thing going on. I mean,
let's do that, Sean.
Okay,
Sean, just call me zhuzh. Yeah, that's my new nickname.
I have a friend named Schwa. That's his nickname.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his actual name? What is that derived
from?
His
last name was Sawarik. So I don't know if people couldn't say it or what it was, but he just became Schwa.
Okay. We have a guest. I'm going to be leaving after this show and going and doing Livewire tonight in Portland, which, by the way, if y'all are in the Portland area, come on down at Alberta Rose Theater, 7:30 tonight. But one of the guests, she has a Japanese name, and the pronunciation of her first name is, I guess, Atsuko, which is not even how it's spelled. There's an extra U in there.
Okay.
And then her last name is like, I'm doing this from memory, but it's like Atkusotu or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there is a 100% chance I'm going to completely biff this name tonight, even though I will backstage say it to myself 100 times perfectly. Mm-hmm. When I get out there on stage, I will biff it.
Do you ever write it out phonetically, or are you trying not to
rely on script?
I go
back and forth, because sometimes when I write stuff out phonetically, it helps, but then sometimes that is more confusing to me.
How many?
What's that, zhuzh?
Oh, sorry.
Get used to it. It's your new name.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome zhuzh to the show.
How many times are you going to have to say this young woman's name tonight? Are you going to try to just have to say it once or twice, beginning and end of the interview?
No, because there's a lot of resets, so I'll have to kind of... And then they were playing a game with her. So I'm going to... And what will happen is I will probably mangle it once or twice, and then I will figure it out, and then I'll overuse it to show off that I actually know how to use the name.
You know, if you want to make your life easier, like, I know people with easy names to pronounce, Andrew Walsh, zhuzh.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to be on the show.
Sean de Torre.
You don't have to worry about pronouncers at all. I do.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, no. That's
this was
pronouncers.
Is this a professional broadcast?
No, it's not.
It was.
It's actually gotten worse.
Years ago.
The intro was so good.
When we were at the radio station, Shawnee, when it was you and me, Jen Flash Andrews, and various interns, it was a pretty professional operation back in those days.
Oh, yeah, because we had those walls surrounding us that said radio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? Honestly, and I think, Andrew, you talk about this sometimes because you still fill in on Cairo. Like, it is really fun to be at a real radio station and have that on-air light go on and to see someone on the other side of the glass. It feels like something's happening. And for better or for worse, doing this show, which is really fun, there are times when Andrew and – well, I can't speak for you, Andrew, but there are times when I forget that this is being recorded, and that's not great.
Right.
Like when you just start asking each other about obscure Michael Christmas lyrics at the beginning of the show before you introduce the guest.
Yes, I forgot like we were doing a show within the first 20 seconds
of the show.
I think
that was me.
You need to invest in a red on-air light. What if you did – do you want – so at the radio station, for to give listeners a perspective, I'm behind a – giant window, and so I'm sitting in my own studio. Luke, if you guys were at the station, you'd be on the other side of the glass. Do you want me to buy some glass or like a sort of plastic box to put me in so you could pretend I'm running the audio board for your show, turning on that on and off red light for the on air? I could do that.
I mean, if you're honestly offering, yes, the answer is yes.
Perfect.
Plus, I have coronavirus, so you do want to be in some kind of enclosed glass.
Oh, hey, quick question on that. Can I be on the other side of the glass with Sean?
I'm patient zero. You're patient one.
Oh, I'm sure
Walsh.
This joke has been used, but I have Dos Equis virus.
Ayo. I wonder about that. Like, I made a silly joke on Twitter when the coronavirus first went around, and I'm not even kidding. I was trying to monitor how deadly it seemed so as to decide if the joke was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the fatality rate was like 2%. So of the people that got it, which like influenza is not a lot lower than that. In other words, like the flu isn't that much worse. So I felt okay making a joke where I said they've identified patient zero of the coronavirus, and it's just Tony Romo from those Corona ads where he's like at a desk. And the joke was supposed to be about Tony Romo and those ads, not about people who are suffering from this thing. But as it's gotten worse, I have now been like, I got to go back and delete that
tweet.
Have
you deleted it?
Have you?
Probably, because I delete all tweets that have under 100 likes.
Wow. Insider secrets with Luke Burbank.
Just so if somebody sees my Twitter feed, I want them to be like, God, this guy's tweets all kill it. And he's like, no. I take the tweets that have like 2 likes, I put them in a bag, and I submerge them in the river.
You should have an alternate Twitter handle called like, I don't know, Failure Luke or something.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're out there.
I got that one.
I believe...
I very much believe that people have already probably created some of those avatars. Hmm. Speaking of which...
Oh, good transition.
I wanted to ask you, because, of course, back in the radio days, Shawnee, mm-hmm. we had a particular... I don't know who it was, but there was somebody who really didn't like me and to some degree, Jen. For some reason, they liked you, which makes me think, was this you the whole time creating this character? But do you remember when there was some like... Well, there was a website that was about talk radio.
Yes, Blatherwatch.
Blatherwatch. And then in the comment section of Blatherwatch, because they would write about TBTL sometimes, Michael, the guy that ran that site, he was very nice to TBTL. But then the people in the comment section would take a big crap on us, and specifically me. Mm-hmm. And then somebody created a whole website that said Luke Burbank is the king of, and then a word that we don't use to describe, you know, a very pejorative way to describe somebody who's gay. And then was all these write-ups about me and Jen. And anyway.
Weird.
Then there was a guy called Golf Man who really hated us. And
that was a little bit later,
yes.
right?
I think Golf I remember
Man
came, Golf Man.
Yeah, that was kind of after TBTL, but when we were all working at the station in various capacities.
Yes.
That guy was just nasty. He would write into all the shows.
Right.
But like kind of funny in a grumpy way, but very, very nasty. And
I think, if I even remember right, a listener to TBTL went out to Golf Man's house.
What?
Not... Like, intentionally, I think it was listener Nathan who does some sort of HVAC work, and I believe he got at me and said, guess what, I was at Golf Man's house. He somehow pieced it together through a combination of internet evidence, name, address, you name it. Well, anyway, that was years and years ago, and to this day, sometimes we'll make a joke about Golf Man. What we've done, though, I would like to think, is we've bored the haters so thoroughly that they've moved on to other things to hate. We get very little hatred on this show.
That's really nice.
Yeah, we've just outlasted them. They've just been like, finally they got tired and they went home.
So that's what you have to do. You have to bore the trolls.
Outlive your trolls is, I think, the lesson here. But this morning, we got a message through the TBTL kind of general inbox, Andrew, that I was reading on the way down. And I thought it was really funny, but I also I am assuming it is someone who is doing a meta joke.
I don't know. Can I read it, or do you have it there?
I have it in front of me.
Oh, you can go ahead.
Okay. It starts with ahoy hoy. I heard what you said about Michael Barbaro. Now, for those who missed that show, Michael Barbaro is this New York Times guy, and he hosts a daily radio show and podcast called The Daily. It's hugely popular, and I was being vulnerable with the audience and letting them know that I felt a certain amount of jealousy because that show is very, very popular. And that's really on me because Michael Barbaro has done nothing to me other than host a very popular radio show and podcast. I was complaining about all of the producers he has. I was like, well, of course the show's good. They work at the New York Times. They get to interview everybody from the New York Times. They have a huge staff. Like, and Andrew, you were actually, I thought, a little bit less sort of I don't know, petty. You said that you like some of the production elements. It's a good show. And I'm not disagreeing. It's not a good show.
I have fun with his delivery and what he's kind of – his manner is very affected, I would say, and his look is pretty affected. But I think – but I don't – you know, the show is good. I can't sit here and say it's not.
No, I listened to it. I listened to all of the coverage from Iowa, and I found it to be a great show.
Yeah.
Again, I go into this – with the knowledge that I'm in the wrong. This is just me being petty and jealous and a small, small little man. Okay, so this person says, ahoy hoy, I heard what you said about Michael Barbaro. You know what? He can report way better than you can, Burbank. Even if he was using The Stranger as his resource, not the New York Times' 25,000 reporters, you are probably the worst person to host Review also. Chew on that next time you're in the Alabama Hill neighborhood of Bellingham, the Bay City, Washington. Signed, Blaster. Tried to do a on-the-fly
bleep
of myself.
Yeah.
Signed, at Blaster. And then the email address, because that's part of the intake system, the person's beginning of their name is webman_something. Now,
maybe he has webbed fingers and toes.
Ooh,
wow.
You never
hard
know.
To type.
Did I just criticize a protected class?
I think dang so. It.
Okay. Why do you think, Andrew, this might be real?
Well, I just thought it was somebody maybe trolling. I mean, I didn't really give it all that much thought. The one flag for me is like, why do they know Ahoy Hoy? How did they hear this thing?
How do they know Alabama Hill? Well, yeah. I will say that that is at the very top of the show.
Sure.
Well, they listen. Here's what we know. They listen to enough of an episode to know that I'm jealous of Michael Barbaro.
Mm-hmm. Right. But,
so that's fairly deep into a show.
And it could be first episode this person heard. Because I'm sure in every episode you use Ahoy Hoy in some fashion or
see,
not
that
anymore.
I disagree with. I think Ahoy Hoy means it's really old school. Okay. Because we don't really use – when you hear somebody say Ahoy Hoy, it means they've been listening for a really long time.
Okay. Now, here is the part that makes me – so I agree with you. I think that this sounds like somebody who understands the joke. That's why they're calling themselves at – Blaster. How's that working?
It's working perfectly.
Having the desired effect.
They're not blasting their abs. I just want to make that very clear. They're not an ab blaster.
And then the fact that they pick up the email address webman. But webman. This makes me think that they're just having some fun. They're spoofing on us. Now, there is one thing, though, where they say, you're probably the worst person to host review.
Yeah.
I assume that means Week in Review on KUOW, which I haven't hosted in a long time. And by the way, I was bad at it. So they're not wrong. But that's like that one is where I'm thinking maybe this is real and they do hate me. But there's so many similarities to a Golfman email. I wonder if it's not a parody of one of those.
Have you thought about maybe it's Golfman? He went underground for a minute, tried to change his identity, and now he is Webman. Maybe he's done with golf. He had too many bogeys.
I was actually looking up because I have some old Golfman emails here. I forgot there is a streak of racism, like straight out racism in Golfman's emails, and a disconnect from reality that this doesn't even come close to. So he could be on meds. Yeah, I don't think this is actually Golfman.
The meds are kind of working.
By the way,
he's like 30% less racist, but still very angry.
Yes. I think this is totally a coincidence, but how is it that we are having this conversation? We get on the same day that we get this Golfman-esque email, we also, for the first time in years and years, get an email in our inbox asking about whatever happened to Golfman. This came from listener Samir, who emailed me this morning.
What?
This is a true story, which now, of course, I think Samir is Golfman. Samir says, hey, dummies, I converted to being a 10 after hearing Luke on the Madeline Brand Show during his weekly Awesome Not Awesome segment. I miss those Fuego takes. During this period of TBTL, I remember you reading emails of a certain Golfman writing into Cairo, directed mainly at Andrew. Were they directed at me? Oh, yeah, because I had my night show then. I'm starting to get emotional thinking about it. I always wondered what happened to Golfman and if they were a character the two of you guys created. Power out, Samir.
I mean, seriously, though? We've got a lot of questions right now.
A lot of questions.
Is Samir...
More questions than answers.
Samir... left his phone number if you want to try calling him.
I think we want to make sure we have a plan going into this call because if we scare listener Samir off.
Yeah, we don't need to Samir his name all over the place.
Wow. I don't know if that gets this or this. Maybe one of both. Because, like, is it possible that Samir wrote that Golfman-esque email but then couldn't leave it alone? Which came in first?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me go back to my
timestamps
because I'll tell you, I know this.
Mm-hmm. It's always in the timestamps.
If I was trying to do a spoof on like a friend, a loved one, a podcast, and then I was worried that they weren't going to get the spoof, I would then gild the lily. I would overdo it. Then I'd be like, hey, any interesting emails come in to the – I assume this is what Samir talks like.
Yes.
Hey, any interesting emails come into the inbox lately, guys? Mm-hmm. Like, I have zero chill.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if maybe Samir is suffering from the same condition where
– Zero chill. That's the name of the new Pepsi, I think, coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Pepsi, zero chill.
Yes, that's right. Only 30 calories.
Okay.
What?
Drink it warm.
Why?
Okay.
Like, I find these – like, they're these diet sodas that are – have 10 calories?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's regular soda is like about 100 calories a can. And then diet soda is 0 calories a can. And then there are various ones that are about 10 calories.
Right. And then there's like Pepsi nothing or there's like no calories still. But then, is it zero sugar?
I think that's what Pepsi Zero and Coke Zero are, right? Zero sugar.
Wait, what's the timestamp on this conversation?
The difference between Coke Zero and Diet Coke is that Coke Zero uses a sort of Splenda-esque product for its sweetener, and Diet Coke uses an aspartame-based thing. Wow. So the thing that happened with Diet Coke is people, and we've got friends who are in this category, there are people that just like the taste of Diet Coke at this point. Like maybe they started drinking it for trying to have fewer calories in their day or whatever, and then now that's just its own kind of distinct flavor. And so when they brought out like Coke Zero, they thought, well, maybe this will just be – this tastes more like real Coke. They thought they had sort of achieved this thing, which was now we have fake Coke that tastes almost exactly like real Coke. But the Diet Coke drinkers of the world were bummed out because they were like, no. We don't want something that tastes more like Coke. We want something that tastes like Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. But with zero sugar.
And that's why – so that's where Coke Zero comes in. There's all kinds of – there's something called Pepsi Max. I wonder if that has extra calories.
Oh, wow.
That's weird.
Is it Max with like two or three X's?
It's like, what would the I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's like they're like, this is even more Pepsi than you're used to. Like, are you trying to lose a foot to diabetes?
And also, we've got Dr. Pepper. Does he have any other family members? Do they have like vet technician Pepper? Mm-hmm. You know,
Yeah, sure.
Insurance
medical
salesman
assistant.
Pepper. Sure, mm-hmm. It's Pepper. Always Dr. Pepper.
I will say this too, and Shawnee, I don't know how plugged in you are on football commercials because I think you take a sort of hands off approach to. Like watching NFL football, in you're not really into it?
Well, actually, I was at a friend's house, and the four of us had the game on, but the four of us didn't care about the game.
Okay,
but we
right.
did watch the halftime show and some of the commercials.
Okay, good. So my suspicions have been confirmed. There, I don't understand Fansville, Andrew.
Oh,
I don't fully
understand it, but it's kind of funny. There's some good little bits in there. I haven't seen it in a while, though.
It's weird to me. Like, so this is the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials for like a couple seasons now have been sort of this like made up town called Fansville where everybody's super into their teams. And that's kind of, you know, people will like a kid will be cheering, like a baby will, their first words will be cheering for like a team that's not the dad's team.
Right.
And then the dad's really mad. And then but also it oddly has this undercurrent of like ex NFL stars, like Eddie George is in them.
Oh, I don't even realize that those
Eddie George,
people.
Brian Bosworth. I'm trying to think who else. I believe like
how about the fridge?
William the Refrigerator Perry does not make an appearance, but that would be a sick cameo.
Can I get credit for the knowing that guy's name?
Yes, you can. You didn't come to cause no trouble, Zhuzh.
No,
I
didn't.
You just want to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
That's all I want to do.
Do you remember that song?
I've heard that song. Ron and Don, you know them.
The fridge was in. Oh, I've heard of
them. They would play that song sometimes on their radio show.
Yeah.
Fansville also has a very weird, dark undercurrent to it. It's almost got this... I know people say this too often, but almost a David Lynch-y kind of like everything seems normal in this classic
but
American town.
The soundtrack, the music is all very foreboding. It reminds me of the Ronald Reagan film King's Row from like the 1940s.
I'm going to play a little bit of this for you. I don't know if it'll translate, but I also want to come back to whether or not Samir's email pinged off of a local cell tower. And I have some answers for you regarding Pepsi Max with one X.
Suspicious Fansville by Dr. Pepper.
Hey, you're late.
I was just getting more Dr. Pepper.
Is that Dijon mustard? Are you seeing another grill?
No.
Was it her? What does she have that I don't?
She has an onion volcano. Look.
She uses propane. This is natural, girl.
Tastes the same to me.
What?
Dr. Pepper.
That was all taking place at a tailgate situation where this woman apparently is seeing two different grill masters.
Sean, it's been great having you on.
Pepsi Max.
We'll see you in six
let's
months.
Let's just keep on
Hey, what is the deal on Pepsi Max, though?
What is the deal with Pepsi Max?
Who are the Max Wizards who came up with this thing?
It's a low-calorie, sugar-free cola sold in European and Asian markets. But wait for it. It turns out it's the same thing as Pepsi Zero. Pepsi Zero Sugar, it's called here in the United States.
But low-calorie or no calorie? Hmm.
I think that Pepsi Zero Sugar doesn't claim to have zero calories. It claims to have zero sugar.
What would the calories be from?
Sugar.
What are we claiming?
I don't know. Because I think isn't Coke Zero. It's also Coke Zero Sugar. Right?
Well, they go back and forth. They're just trying to figure out how do we brand this thing and how do we design the packaging so the most number of people will will grab it when they're at the grocery store. But the thing about Coke Zero is it has zero calories in it. Mm. So the idea that like...
It used to be called Coke Zero Sugar. That was its original name. Okay.
Right. Right. But I'm not debating that point. What I'm saying is it doesn't have any calories in it. If you don't have any sugar in a soft drink, it shouldn't have any calories because where would the calories come from otherwise? Gravy? Like the thing that gives soda calories is sugar. There's nothing else caloric in soda. And sadly, this is something I spend a lot of time thinking about.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, have you started studying under like a Cokeologist?
Uh-huh. Yes, I do. That was a dark time for me. And thankfully, it's been months since I've been visiting my Cokeologist, I'm happy to say.
That's good.
But yeah, like, and I know for the record that consuming diet soda is probably not great for me. Mm. Andrew, you said yesterday on the show how like it feels like when you and I are getting corrected by the listeners... It kind of comes in waves. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be a few months, and we won't hear a lot. And then all of a sudden, over the course of, like, a week, people will be just dipping into our Twitter feed, reminding us that we're wrong about something or clarifying. Mm-hmm. I got from a dear, dear listener and friend of the show, our friend Lloyd in Oregon. Hey, Lloyd, how about some delivery for the pepperoni? Mm-hmm. Lloyd is the one who hipped us to the idea that there was a pizza expo going on in Vegas where I ended up doing a TV story. So Lloyd tweeted at me, he retweeted this, and maybe also to the TBTL account, this guy who says, hey, if you're thinking that eating the Impossible Whopper is healthy, it has 600 calories.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Big Mac only has 500 calories. So, you know, you might want to think it's not as healthy as you think it is. And I was like, okay, first of all, I'm unsurprised to hear that.
Yeah.
And then I go to the Twitter account of the guy who did the original tweet. Guess what his job is?
What?
Former owner of multiple McDonald's locations, now consultant for McDonald's.
Really?
The bravery.
Right.
The bravery of a McDonald's.
Gall, the gumption.
I mean, honestly, like, it's an inspiration that somebody who works for McDonald's would have the absolute bravery to send out a tweet about how Big Macs are not bad for you.
Yeah.
You have to just respect that kind of selflessness.
I mean, that's how you take the sort of other companies down, is you have to be ruthless.
But yeah. I'd also like to point out, though, I mean, I saw that too, and I love Lloyd. I mean, Lloyd, I'm assuming, will bring me a bunch of pizzas someday. But
he only handles the pepperoni side of things. That is a true story. That's what he does.
He's got connections, though. No, but I mean, I think anybody who listens to the show specifically knows that you've never said, I'm eating these things for health benefits, but just because of how you feel about animals and meat, and you're happy to have a meatless option. And the commercials, like Burger King, I have not seen a Burger King commercial where they claim any kind of health claims on it. They're just saying plant-based tastes just as good as meat.
It kind of, and I don't think that listener Lloyd is doing this, but it is something that I have noticed since I stopped eating meat and since I started incessantly talking about it on the show, which is to say it comes up at least four times every episode. There, people, again, not listener Lloyd, but some people do feel a little weirdly maybe threatened by it, and they kind of need to like pop in to my email and let me know that actually I'm not doing myself any health favors. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, A, I know that, and B, like... I'm not telling anyone else how to live their life. Mm-hmm. And also just the fact that it was like that this had been retweeted a bunch of times, this particular tweet from the guy who works for McDonald's. It's like, I mean, the guy who makes his living through the promotion of McDonald's is telling us that McDonald's food is actually better for you than an Impossible Whopper. Mm-hmm. Like, of course he is.
Yeah.
So you've had this Impossible Whopper?
Had it. I had three today.
He sweats Impossible Whoppers at this point.
You know what?
It's amazing to see.
It really is. Some people didn't think it could happen.
No, I mean,
I said impossible is nothing.
You have impossible pores.
After I'm done with it. Yeah. No, I love those things too much. That's been, that's been a bad development in my personal journey to weigh less. Shawnee, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I was thinking the other day of how in the early days of the show, we all used to weigh ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
And that, of course, has stopped on TBTL. It coincided with me hitting a weight that I felt embarrassed to report on the show. How's your sort of physical health all these years later? Do you feel like the weighing in when we in the olden days of TBTL actually had some impact on us and how healthy we were?
I think back then I was generally trying to be as healthy as I could. Like, I would still drink a lot and smoke and things, but I felt more active. I would ride my bike
to
work.
You jog too, I think?
I was jogging for a while.
I saw you jog sometimes.
Okay, Joe from the show You, thanks for stalking me.
Wow.
What?
Zhuzh. Where's this coming from?
Coming in Zhuzh.
Anyway, there's a show on Netflix called You. It's very good. It's
really?
The talk of the town. Get hit, brothers.
Okay.
I've watched first and second season. But anyway, no, I used to be a little bit more healthier back then. And actually, I went to the doctor recently, and my weight as of yesterday is, I think, 186.
And not so, bad.
I think back in the day, I was like 170, 170 something, maybe.
You look the same to me. That's the thing.
Well, that's nice to hear, because I'm certain that my insides are black, blacker than ever. But no, I haven't been to the gym lately. But the weight thing, it's nice to not know now. When I go to the doctor every once in a while, it's like, oh, wow, I was 195 like 3 months ago. Now I'm 185. That's really – I just go to the doctor so I can get weighed.
Wow. Yeah, I think I was 183 the first day of TBTL.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, there was the whole ritual that was like we would do it at a certain time.
Before
there was
the
a certain
show,
scale,
yeah.
And I would like take – I mean, I would, you know, I would take my shoes off and all. I think I was trying to weigh the least – and I'm definitely like, I'm probably about 197 now.
Okay.
I would like to get back to being like 185. I hold, for some reason, that 183, whatever my like first day of TBTL was, some part of my brain thinks that I can get back to that weight. I'll just have undone all the damage I've done in the world over the last almost 15 years.
See,
I don't think that's how that works, but somehow my brain tells me it's a real, you know, it's a rewind button on my life.
My brain is kind of like wired similarly to yours, where I feel like if I can just get back to the gym, get feeling a little bit more toned and trim, get down to like 170 something, all the drinking and smoking that I have done or do has no effect on the inside of my body. As long as I can jog and breathe, I'm fine.
Yeah. That's a big part of my calculation as far as working out is just like, how do I erase all of the bad decisions that I make?
So essentially we're both delusional.
Yeah, that's right. And meanwhile, Andrew, you've been building your beef castle. Is there
I'll give you a weight. I mean, you want to
blow
you away.
No. I don't want
to
hear it.
I am so – the idea of ever being even close to 200 again is
dude, you're also like 6'2".
I'm shrinking.
You're
6'1" now.
You're 6'2". You're more beard than man.
I'm not even quite 6'1" anymore.
You're strapping.
I used to be 6'2".
No, Andrew, I'm not trying to
– I'm gaining weight.
No. I'm not trying to get you into having to report your weight, but I'm curious, is there a version of yourself – like, you put that picture on Twitter a while ago.
That picture, yeah.
And it was you in your 20s, I think. Is there a version of yourself that in some possibly delusional way you're hoping to get back to?
Not regarding weight, but just, like, mindset, you mean, or place in life?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I have somewhat.
Before you got
same...
roped into doing this show?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, God, I was so happy.
The day before Luke asked me, could I be on TBTL? Right.
I was so thin back then.
I was so thin. I mean, before I was on TBTL, I think I was like, yeah, the glory days when I was producing Ross and Burbank, also with you.
Yeah.
We've been intertwined for quite some time
yes,
now.
Indeed.
I don't remember the pre-Luke days. I mean, I think when it comes to fitness, I have the same kind of delusions that you were just describing too. And sometimes, like, maybe even to take it a step further, this isn't exactly what you were saying, Shawnee, but like sometimes I think that, oh, well, if I do this, then everything else will click. Even like I can be black on the inside because of the drinking and the smoking, but maybe it's kind of like...
I identify as black on the inside, by the
yes.
way, which is, let's just say, controversial.
Yeah, black on the inside like me.
Yes.
That's your autobiography, Black on the Inside.
A book.
Rachel Dolezal has a thing or two to say about that.
But anyway, yeah, that idea of, well, someday, like, okay, I see men older than me in better shape, right? And so then if you go to the gym and then someday maybe you will have a sculpted body. Then when you have a sculpted body, everything else will just click into place because I won't be, you know,
that's exactly
my feelings
what
so
I'm
much.
Telling I'll myself.
Be, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This gym I'm going to in Bellingham, I got there a little early yesterday. We got to go to break, obviously. We're long overdue. But I have been working out with a trainer, and I've been doing various exercises. And this is going to sound like I'm being dismissive of someone else, and I don't mean it to. But there was a woman who's much older than me. She was probably maybe in her late 60s. I was digging her vibe because she was wearing a sweatshirt that said Nasty Woman as she was working out with a trainer. And she gets onto the incline bench. And she gets a couple of dumbbells. She's doing incline, like bench press with these dumbbells. And I'm just stretching, getting ready to do my session. And she is using the exact same amount of weight that I use when I do it. This is not an exaggeration.
Incline, no joke. Incline means your feet are raised over your head.
No.
You're sitting in like a
I'm just imagining that.
The opposite of that, your head is above your feet.
Yeah, it's basically, I'm going to demonstrate, and I hope I don't break this chair, but it's basically you're like this, and then you're doing this.
Okay. Yeah.
It's working some, I don't know what.
It's working your chest and
tries. It's working my ego when I see a woman of possibly 70 years of age. And good for her, by the way. I mean,
she's had like 30 more years to practice than you.
It's true.
I've been looking at this wrong the whole time.
And also, now looking at you two, were you sweating and huffing and puffing, and was she just like laissez-faire-ing this whole
thing? I had not started yet.
Oh.
But I was on an exercise bike warming up, which I probably was a little sweaty. But in fact, it often is the case when I get there that a lot of the people that use this particular gym, well, it's a couple things. There's like classes, there's CrossFit and stuff. And those are people that are probably maybe a bit more my age or maybe younger. But for the personal training, I think that's something that older people tend to use because of it just being helpful to have someone tell you, here's what you do, and then you do this. And I am constantly – so most days when I get there, there's somebody who's significantly older than me getting some sort of personal training. And I am always trying to – assess where they're at versus me. And what I find is I'm pretty close to where they're at. I saw an older gentleman doing, I guess you'd call them, they're called like hollow lifts. You lie on your back and you kind of do this sort of thing where you your arms are above your head, your legs are straight out, and you're lifting your whole body up. It's supposed to work your core. I saw this guy doing it at one point and I thought like, yo, he seems pretty tired, man. You know, too bad for him. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm doing my hollow lifts and I'm like, oh dear God, when does this end? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what number am I on? She's like, 3.
Right.
I was doing these assisted pull-ups yesterday, which means I am actually squatting on the ground. So one of the hallmarks of a pull-up is your feet aren't on the ground, traditionally. I am squatting on the ground. Underneath a dumbbell, which is that kind of long bar that you use for like, you know, squats and stuff. And that's on a weight rack, right? So just imagine there's a bar. I'm squatting on the ground and my job is to just pull myself up over the bar.
Using your legs.
To a standing position.
I'm not supposed to use my legs, but I'm telling you, after about five of them, it was all legs all the time.
I can't do a pull-up. I mean,
I can't either. That's why I'm doing the pull-ups where my legs are allowed, my feet are allowed to be on the ground.
Whenever I see you, I always think, here comes Luke, all legs.
All legs.
I've known for that. So I don't know what the point of the story was other than good job, nasty woman who was doing the same amount of incline barbell press than me.
In 30 years, you'll be doing the same amount of weight.
Best case scenario.
Maybe even more.
What I keep saying to the trainers there is, you guys, what you don't realize is there's a high ceiling for me in terms of improvement.
Yeah,
there's
right.
A lot, so there is a lot of improving that can happen. I didn't come in maxed out. There is just nowhere to go but up. And there's
spell max with how many X's was unmaxed out there?
There's nowhere to go but to the break for us right now. So let's do that. We are a long overdue. Then we'll come back and talk about radio DJs and do some Blurs Days. So stay with us. This is TBTL. Sister, sister, you remind me of one of the twins. Right. Whoever asked was bigger in the end. Ooh. I told the sister, sister, should always be rolling in the bins. That's why I be chasing dividends. I be like, sister, sister. A lot has changed, Sean, since you were last on the show.
Ooh.
We objectify women in our musical
shows. Sure, sure. Well, they aren't going to know because that part's going to get bleeped out when he says, ah.
Oh, we just missed the big part. Can I go back? I want you to hear this. I've been dying for a week for you to hear this this little payoff.
Okay.
Hopefully it's clean-ish. Sister, sister, could you let me be your baby father? And what she say? Go home, Roger. Great. Worth
That's
it? Good. I don't know.
That's
Sorry.
Worth it.
I kind of forced it, but I love that song.
Ironically, the other song is called Worth It. On
yeah,
the album.
That's true. Worth, yeah.
All right, let's talk about iHeartMedia. This article from the Washington Post, Drew Harwell writing. iHeartMedia has announced that it would fire hundreds of workers across the country and make significant investments in technology and artificial intelligence. Laid off employees like D'Edwin Big Kosh Walton of 106.7 The Beat in Columbus, Ohio, who is making $12 an hour. Says the responsibility doesn't lie with the computer, with AI. He blames the company's top executives, who he called cold-blooded and making a calculated move that has cost people their jobs. It ripped my bleeping heart out, Walton said. The people at the top don't know who we are at the bottom. They don't understand the relationship and the connections we had with the communities, and that's the worst part. They don't care. iHeartRadio has 850 local stations, and what they've basically done is they've moved to this AI system that's going to pick their music, that's going to play their music, and they're firing a bunch of the DJs who play the songs. This is sort of one of those things where it's like, I don't know the last time I listened for any sustained amount of time to like a typical radio station, but it makes me sad to think that there's not going to be DJs saying, hey, there's a whatever, then coming up, it's War of the Roses. I'm trying to pretend I know what a morning show even does anymore. Clearly, it's been a long time. I don't know. There's something about this that just makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure I will come off as an okay boomer here. I don't know. But like, just being a bit of a radio geek, I love listening to something knowing that somebody is at the controls. Like, that's why I like living in LA. I felt like there was a very vibrant radio scene going on there, even if it wasn't my kind of music or even my kind of vibe. You got the impression like you could be driving home at night and just land on some channel where they're literally speaking English and Spanish at the same time.
Yes,
slipping in and out of it, and you know that they're
El Cucuy.
Like, and they're just like live, and I would listen to that and half follow it.
Totally.
And like on the AM side in LA, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on, but it's like real and it's happening. I mentioned this when I had a satellite radio briefly earlier this year, Luke, that there was something weird about if I got in the car and turned on one of those stations that was pre-programmed, and it was obviously it was pre-recorded, but it sounded like a DJ was there with me, I would listen to it. But then if I came home and wanted to continue listening, but it said, you can play this on demand now, I'd be like, no, I don't want to play it on demand now. I want to have the fictional illusion that this is sort of live. I don't want to play it on demand, which is why everybody listens to TBTL. Things
That's
are downloading.
Right. That's right. Because one of the things that iHeart's, their big argument has been, because the problem is like Spotify and Pandora and all these other services are really coming for radio stations, because most of us now have the ability to listen to whatever music we want to listen to when we want to listen to it, or a curated station, you know, based on an algorithm already. So that's a problem for traditional radio stations. So for a long time, what iHeartMedia was saying was, and this is, they said, they claim that, let's see here, the companionship of the trusted bond and strong relationship with on-air personalities is what they could add. That's things like Spotify and Pandora.
Yeah.
Good. So they were for a long time arguing, we have humans, and that's why you want to listen to us and not some computer algorithm.
Yeah.
But now they're completely undoing that. And I'll just read you a little bit of what the plan is, this thing that they're implementing. Back in 2018, some of the iHeart stations started using a music mixing AI system built by the startup company Super Hi-Fi, which says it can, quote, understand music nuances with the same depth as a human DJ. The system can transition in real time between songs by layering in music, sound effects, voiceover snippets, and ads, delivering the style of smooth, seamless playback that has long been the human DJ's trade. Their clients also include Peloton, by the way, this company, Super Hi-Fi. They say that this computational music presentation, I mean, is anything rock harder than computational
right.
music presentation?
Is anything more authentic?
Yeah, right? They say this computational music presentation, AI, can help erase the seconds-long gaps between songs that can lead to a loss of energy, a lack of continuity, and a disquieting sterility. So what they're saying is, real human DJs, for too long, we've suffered with these second-long gaps between
Luke,
songs.
If you put those seconds together over the time since radio has been around, I mean, that's a lot of time that we've lost.
That's a lot of state roofing ads we could play.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks to human beings.
Right? I love this idea. I mean, I don't. I hate this idea. I find it fascinating that they think that these second-long gaps between songs have been leading to a loss of energy, a lack of continuity, and a disquieting sterility.
Yeah. What kind of person are you to actually come up with those words and put those to paper? Because that just seems like something, of course, you have to say as the CEO of iHeart or whoever that is, right? Saying these things that don't even necessarily make sense just to have their thing seem to make sense to them. I mean, we all are around the same age here, and I grew up with radio. Marco Collins, I grew up with 107.7 The End back in the day. And
loved
I was
it.
On the radio as a guest on some of these stations. I think we've played some of my forays into Cube Radio once before
on
here. But, like, it's the personality and the of the DJs. And sort of like the dude said in that article, it's about community. And if you've got AIs just running everything, it's like if you've listened to Jack FM, which is local to here, it's just music, which is fine if you're in that mood. But it's nice because you're dark in your room. It's the light is dim. You're listening to this one voice, even if it's talk radio. And it's just a nice experience. You know,
I was obsessed as a kid with Chet Buchanan's show.
Chet Buchanan,
I think it might have been K-Hit back in the day, which I think K-Hit was might have been Star before it was called Star. I could be mixing that up. But I used to listen to this show called The Party Line, and I would listen to the top 10 at 10. Mm-hmm. And I was devastated when Rock Me Amadeus by Falco was no longer the number one song on the top 10 at 10.
Yeah.
I was like had so much personally invested every night to find out that Rock Me Amadeus was still the top of the charts. And then it was sort of bested by Let's Go All the Way by the band Sly Fox. And I was just like, what even is life at this point? If Rock Me Amadeus by Falco is no longer the number one song on the top 10 at 10, I don't want to be alive.
We can still have this sort of disappointment, people, if we just have regular DJs on the air.
Radio disappointing listeners for generations. This is so unrelated, and I apologize for taking this sharp turn here, but just this kind of obsession that we had as kids with music and radio reminded me of a story I read in Esquire today. The story of Huey Lewis is not a tragedy. Mm. It's a first-person piece written by Dave Holmes.
Who I love, by the way.
Yes, good writer and loved...
Former VJ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's kind of how he first got... This is the Dave Holmes experience. I'm not trying to interrupt this too much, Andrew, but the Dave Holmes experience, I think, is instructive to all of us. MTV had this basically contest. You remember this, Shawnee?
I do, yeah.
Like, to become a VJ. And there was a year they would have all these people audition, and then it would get narrowed down. And one year, this guy, Dave Holmes, who you're about to read from, he got second place to this guy named Jesse.
Yes.
And Jesse was the kind of just like, wow, like tall, skinny rocker dude who had the kind of wild hair. And he was a personality too. Mm-hmm. But everybody kind of like Dave Holmes was, if you liked music, Dave Holmes was kind of your dude because he really loved music. He got second place, but he was so good that they still found a job for him. And let's just say he then went on to have a long career as a DJ. This other guy, Jesse, who, again, I don't wish any ill to, faded pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, all of you, if you get second place, that's not the end of the world.
And that was 1998.
Yeah.
When that I Want to Be a VJ kind of. I had no idea
Dave Holmes
that
wrote a great book called Party of One, I think, about coming out. He's a really interesting dude,
I just know his byline. I see his byline all the time. I think I don't know if he's a freelancer or just writes for Esquire, but...
I believe he's the son of John Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think so. Okay, so anyway, I don't have a lot to say about this other than it's worth a read. Dave Holmes is like, it's first person, and he's like just totally excited about meeting Huey Lewis. But did you know that Huey Lewis is living on like a remote ranch out in Montana?
Yeah, because he has Meniere's disease.
I had no idea about
this.
Well,
my friend, if you watch CBS Sunday Morning...
you didn't do that piece, did you?
No, but our friend John Goodwin from the Fun Loving Criminals did produce it.
Oh. And Fun Loving Criminals, like Scooby Snacks? Fun Loving Criminals?
Well, it's a combination. 90s? Yes, sort of. It's the Fun Loving Criminals because the engineer for the Mariners used to be a guy named Kevin Kremen. Did you ever work with Kevin Kremen? Did you ever run the Mariners?
I did not, no.
So, but you know of that name,
I
right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, he was a pretty big presence.
So we have this sports text change. It was like me and Andrew and my brothers and our friend John and Stu Bott and Camaro. Anyway, it's just like all these sport dudes, and we call it
I'm a sport dude.
I just call it that. I mean, it's nowhere formally, but I kind of call it the Fun Loving Criminals.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because I think we started just talking about Mariners a lot.
Yeah.
But okay, so I'm sorry. I'm doing a terrible job of letting you read this piece.
Oh, no, I don't. Well, it sounds like you know the details. This was all news to me. I didn't realize that he has this hearing loss problem, but I got to say the fascinating thing about this is they don't really know what this disease is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Huey Lewis says in this article, it's like more like a bunch of symptoms that they can't – they don't know what causes it. They don't have a treatment for it. And at the end of the article, it's talking about how he does this hearing test every morning when he wakes up. And if he can hear all six electronic beeps, it means he's going to have a good hearing day.
Wow.
And he said, okay, if everything goes according to plan, if I keep on having a six – tone day or a six beep day, then I will end up having my first rehearsal in a long time after 9 weeks. Mm. And so in this article, it ends with him having like 9 weeks of good hearing days. And then right before the scheduled rehearsal, he starts having two tone days.
Oh,
and he loses it. And it makes me think that like there's got to be a psychological component to this, right? This hearing thing that is like a bunch of symptoms that they are all just throwing it under this umbrella, and then suddenly he's counting on it. He's looking forward to this specific date, and then all of a sudden he has almost like a performance anxiety kind of thing with his hearing.
I mean, I don't know enough about this disorder to say. I mean, as a doctor, people are wondering my opinion on this, but
I really led us to a weird place on the show, and I'm calling a disease. I'm weighing in on a disease, but it just seems so
sure. Well, there's a lot. I mean, there seems to be some interesting evidence about even like back pain. Let's take it to a totally different place. Like, there's this guy, Dr. David Sarnow, who wrote a book, I think, called The Mind-Body Connection that Howard Stern swears by, that basically says a lot of back pain is psychological. Doesn't mean that you're making it up, and it doesn't mean that you're being extra. Mm-hmm. It means that our body holds anxiety and stress in weird ways.
Yeah.
And that like the worst thing you can do is get a back surgery, because now you've created this new situation, which is this surgery and whatever fusing happens, and if that then will, you know, his argument seems to be that if we can work on sort of emotional and psychological stuff, that could help with stuff. I could see a world in which Meniere's disease is also in that category. I feel compelled to share quickly my two Huey Lewis stories.
Mm-hmm.
First is Huey Lewis and the News. This is back when he was still performing. They were playing at the casino up in Tulalip, the Tulalip Casino.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamarokev's parents, they've got a whole ritual. Any singer that even moderately strikes their fancy, they will drive the RV up there and park it. They never go to the show. They just want to be in the orbit of the show.
Oh, they're not hearing any. There's no spillover.
Not that I remember.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah, they're okay. Like you. That's what I thought. Camaro would go, oh yeah, my folks are heading up because like Huey Lewis is here, and I was like, oh cool. And I was like, we're gonna park near that. I thought, oh, we'll probably sit outside the RV and we'll hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy to be stuck with you.
Yeah.
Spilling over the walls of the whatever theater. No, we couldn't. We were very far away. We couldn't hear any of the music.
You were just nearby.
Wow. We were just in a place where, you know, we knew kind of intellectually that Huey Lewis and the News were somewhere near us. But so then we go over there, and this was, not maybe my finest hour as an adult human, but I think the show was sold out or the tickets were too much. But I decided I'm sneaking into this show. And the way that I did that was
this you going rogue? Nobody else was with you here?
I got our friend Jessica, I believe, to follow me through.
Okay.
But Camaro is for somebody who's nicknamed Camaro, Camaro's a little more straight-laced, a little more rule-followy when it comes
to this.
He's
more like me than you.
Sure.
In a certain way, as far as like having anxiety about saving seats.
Yeah, does not
or
like that.
Or like coloring outside the lines.
Those
of
lines,
behavior.
He doesn't like to color outside
more like
of
Prius Kev.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, right.
Station wagon Kev.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Nissan Leaf Kev. So we get there. And again, I can't remember if it said it was sold out or that the tickets were a bunch of money, but I had it in my mind that we were going to like stand up on a hillside and watch a free Huey Lewis concert.
Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah, and that wasn't what was happening. We're just now standing around outside this thing. And again, I don't know. I can't imagine the tickets were that much. But I got it in my head, probably thanks to alcohol, that I needed to sneak into this thing. And so it's all, of course, fenced off with like kind of chain link fence. And then the chain link fence has these big, thick kind of vinyl tarps that are affixed with zip ties all along so that you can't see through them as well. So they're a physical barrier and they're like visual barrier.
Yes.
Because they don't want you getting a free look.
Yeah, no such thing as a free news.
No free looking at Huey. Yeah. And so I am just, of course, completely obsessed. And I find this break. It's not even a break in the fence, but it's a place where I can reach in and undo the zip ties, which have not been zip tied properly. There's actually on zip ties a little tab in there that if you can get your fingernail in, it actually allows you to back the zip tie out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, meanwhile, there's security walking around this whole time. Mm-hmm. So this is like some Shawshank Redemption shit.
Yeah, no, I'm picturing East Germany here.
I got a poster of Raquel Welch.
Right.
I put it over this thing. Uh-huh. No, but I found this like area that I thought I could potentially squeeze through here, but for this tarp. And so then I have to set about undoing the zip ties, which is like, there's like four or five of them. So I'm still like, every time a guard comes by, I have to like kind of stand up. Oh, yeah. I'm just over here on this piece of lawn.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, right sir. I'm in this flower bed by the fence. Reach around, undo another zip tie. Finally, I get the thing. I pry it open just a little bit and I like get through and I'm in.
Wow.
So this is interesting. I thought it was just like the blue tarp was on top of the chain link fence. The tarp actually
attached to, imagine it's like sort of vertical, I guess. Okay. It's like it's connected into the fence itself. And I get in, and then Jessica at some point, I think, feels brave and sneaks in. And then we're just in there listening to Huey Lewis and the News without a care in the world. And if I remember right, I feel like at some point I turn around and Camaro Kevin and his family were in there. I don't know if someone gave him tickets or if they just let him in. But like I pulled this whole caper. I don't know if it was totally necessary.
Right. So Pat and Dale, you don't think were crawling through the fence. You think they found some sort of legal access, legal entry.
I think they probably went through the more traditional entrance. So that's Huey Lewis story number one. Huey Lewis story number two is years ago I was having dinner in the restaurant at the Deluxe Hotel in Portland, and wouldn't you know, Huey Lewis sitting next to me at dinner, me and our friend Jessica once again. She's a real Lewis head, apparently. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. He and the News had been playing at the Zoo, and they were on their way to Seattle the next night to play at the Zoo, and Jessica had tickets. Mm-hmm. But by random chance, me, her, and the Mummy are sitting in this restaurant, and Huey Lewis is next to us. And we're all kind of geeking out. Holy shit, it's Huey Lewis. And then he's just finishes his meal, and he's got a couple friends with him, a couple, like a man and woman, and then he stands up, and they say, oh, what's going on tomorrow? And he goes, we're going to Seattle. Nirvana. That was all he said, then he just walked out.
That's his funny connection.
That was it. Nirvana.
I have a quick dazzling detail from the story.
Dazzle me.
His mom, Huey Lewis's mom, that is, dated Charles Mingus. Famous
jazz. I thought that was going to end with Manson, and I'm glad it didn't.
Nope.
Well, isn't it a fact, too, if you're reading that he has a couple of brothers, Dewey and Louie?
I knew from the setup that that wasn't a real question. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
The first time you've heard that, Sean.
Yes. I like the Seinfeld bass at the
it's
end.
It's a combination of two different songs by Tim Heidecker.
Really?
One that he's singing at the beginning and then just this bad bass. Well, I'm sorry, this amazing bass solo I found by him.
Those guys are on tour. You're going to see them, right?
Yeah, that's right. In a couple of weeks, I think we're going to see them. I think at the Moore Theater in beautiful Seattle, Washington. This is the part of the show where we wish people a happy Blur's Day. I got a couple here for you. This is from Sydney, who says, I'd like to submit a happy Blur's Day message for myself.
All right.
It's a self-blurs, if you will.
Wish I had a bell.
Here you go. You take this, here. Sean, with great responsibility.
Uh-oh.
wait, comes great buzzer action.
That's it. That's what they say. So just go nuts.
You all need right. to use all the...
I don't know which one's the bell.
Well, use all the buttons.
Okay.
Yeah, just use whatever... Yeah, and here's the thing. Just a couple of things. One, once you activate a sound, it has to finish before... It won't let you play the next one.
And unfortunate.
Some of them are longer than others.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just going to be...
Okay.
Sean Dettori, Japan's number one mixer, is now manning the sound effects box for this Blur's Day session.
Ooh.
All right, so this is Sydney doing a self-blurs. I turned 28 on Tuesday. I've been listening to TBTL since I was in college back in 2012, and it has been such a gift. I mean this sincerely, to have you as my internet BFFs over the years.
Oh, la, la.
Bagel, faggle, beagle, boggle, boogle.
Levi, hey, this is our buddy Levi, says, my brother Drew turns 50 this week, and he's not super into his birthday, but I wanted to honor the occasion, so I figured what better gift than to wish him a happy Blur's Day on a podcast that he doesn't listen to.
Perfect.
Happy.
Gotta love it. Sure, whoa.
Scatman's World.
Happy 50th, big brother. That's from Levi to Drew. I tried to be a Drew for a while.
Really?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
You could pull it off. When? What era?
I think I'm more of a Drew than an Andy, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You're not an Andy.
Yeah. No, you're a
I grew
Drew.
Up very much an Andy.
Really?
Yeah, and my dad still calls me Andy Boy.
Whoa. Hence the Andy Boy grill.
The Andy Man grill.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that was...
Boys becoming men.
men becoming grills. Well, you write that down. I need a show title.
Okay.
How have we never said that before? Or have we? And I've just forgotten it.
Probably.
I was trying to transition out of my Andy phase, and I thought maybe going by Drew would be a good alternative. I think I got that from my sister's friend Laura suggested it. And I just couldn't get it to stick. I think this would have been probably around 7th grade, and then I switched schools in 8th grade.
So you haven't tried Drew since that time period?
No, but if you want to call me Drew, that's fine.
Okay, I'll try it.
Shawnee, have you ever tried to like go by a different name? Or like what? Wait, hold on. What is your middle name?
Kenneth.
Oh, for the Kenneth the Spider Dettori.
That's right. Yeah.
Dettori.
Yeah. No, people call me Dettori.
Sure.
A lot of people call me Shawnee because of you.
Oh, no. Is that okay?
Even people that work at Cairo sometimes.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, you know, that's fine.
I'm sorry. I hope that was because I noticed, like, I think Ron started calling you Shawnee at some point.
Shawnee Northwest. I like that
Ooh,
one.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. That's a solid
How about
one.
Zhuzh? How do you feel about Zhuzh? Nice.
Hey.
Can I tell you one?
Sean, you're killing it.
I'm trying to hand that off.
You're doing so well, Sean, at this.
I'm going to tell you one just middling story. I'll put this kind of like my real middle shelf kind of content here.
Okay.
But I was called Drew for a period in college. I forgot about this because I applied for a job as basically an English tutor, a one-on-one English tutor, the thing called the Writing Center. We called ourselves peer writing assistants, which is way sexier than a tutor. And on my very first day, the boss, or maybe it was the day that she hired me, the boss was an older woman who talked very fast. She was very efficient. I really liked her right away. But in my kind of orientation, she just says really quickly, okay, we already have an Andrew on staff, so you're going to be an Andy. And then she just moves on to the next thing. I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. Do we have a sound effect for like...
For slow down?
Slow down. Hold up. Mm-hmm. Hold up.
Definitely,
hold up,
definitely
boss.
Definitely. It's this.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. That's 100%. What I said to her. And I said, wait, I've spent years trying to not be called an Andy. You can't just call me Andy because you have another person named Andrew. And... She said, okay, how about Drew? And I was just like, all right. I was just beaten down. I was like, all right. I guess
oh, my
Drew.
God, that's so crazy.
But,
why?
Like, there are other, you know, workplaces where people have the same name.
Sure.
I don't think you should have to change it. But all of this is to say it ended up being very helpful because that was my freshman year of college. I went on to do other things. But then any time I ran into somebody on campus who called me Drew, I realized they were a former kind of – let's call him student of mine.
Yes.
Somebody that I had worked with. So
it
I
narrowed
would
it
automatically
down.
Have that. I could always be like, how's the English
so
going?
So you have a positive reinforcement with that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like if they called me Drew, I knew how I knew you.
Nice.
I told you it was middle shelf material. Okay, one more Blur's Day here. This is from Matthew in Chicago. Matthew says, I would like to wish my Nope, doesn't begin with an F. Begins with a B.
My friend?
I would like to wish my frother. No, I would like to wish my brother Ben in Pittsburgh.
I'd like to point out to anybody watching, this is really bunk journalism.
Matthew in Chicago would like to wish his brother Ben in Pittsburgh a happy 30th Blur's Day.
Yay!
Congratulations.
It goes on a long time, by the way. The broken glass is easily 4 seconds. Could you play it again, Shawnee? This is like, this should be the end. Nope. Let's keep going. Oh, one more.
That's a big window. Matthew says to Ben, congratulations on finally making it to being middle-aged, bordering on elderly.
Oh, yeah.
Ben is now 30.
Happy Blur's Day,
happy
everybody.
Blur's Day, everybody. Blur's Day. Good, solid batch there.
Sean, it is so nice having someone else man that thing,
oh,
person
really?
That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like there's a limited roster mm-hmm. of sound effects. I do it every week. I feel like for whatever reason, I want it to be the right sound effect at the right time,
right.
which is impossible because it's mostly like gunshots, bombs going off, glass breaking.
Have you been using this as a crutch, Luke, this little sound effects machine?
Are you kidding me?
Can I
yes.
answer that?
Everything.
answer it with a drop.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
We've talked about this before, the idea that maybe we do a whole show where I just try to talk in drops. I'd have to really get my system
that
dialed
would
in.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it would put me on edge.
Really?
That would take a lot of production. Bit. I mean, you mean doing it
it's
live?
It's an audiophile's nightmare.
Would you do it live?
I'll write it and
we'll
do
it
live.
I misunderstood you. In other words, you would be playing yes. drops, not reciting drops.
No.
I thought you were just going to try to have a conversation with me reciting
no.
drops.
No. I just play. You would see. You ask a question.
Hey, Luke. Oh, my God. Here it is. Episode number 3092. I cannot believe we've been doing this show for that long.
I got a lot of secrets. I prefer to keep clandestine. Terrible, disturbing secrets.
You're terrible keeping secrets, Luke. I mean, on the show, you're always just admitting all of your foibles. Like that one. All right, maybe we don't.
Snow, maybe and more snow, and you've got a really nasty mixture.
Now that's a morning show.
Hey-o. Look at iHeartMedia. We're coming for you. All right, we should wrap things up. We didn't get to talk about my new hero, the 75-year-old uphill skier, but maybe we can get to that tomorrow. Also, I want to... Sean, you're going to stick around for tomorrow's show as well, and I want to talk about your budding stand-up comedy career and old Drew Walsh's budding stand-up comedy career, which I am very fascinated by as well.
Let's downplay that. But I do want to give Sean an opportunity. Sean, you have a new website, right?
I do, yeah.
Yes.
SeanDeTore.com.
And you're looking for people to hire you?
Spell it.
I-T. Oh, you mean the website?
Yes. Oh my God.
That's you, gentlemen. Luke. He literally asked me to spell it.
Okay, fair.
It's SeanDeTore. SeanDeTore.com. Yeah, and if anybody's got any audio sort of projects or even voiceover stuff, go to there and I've got some pricing and everything.
Yeah.
Send me a message.
And as I think I wrote for that website, Shawnee, everything that we've ever worked on together, you always exceed all expectations. You're so good at that stuff.
Yeah.
So people would be very lucky to
thank you.
Have the services of one Sean DeTore.
I appreciate that. Both of you wrote some blurbs for my website. And
Blurbs Day.
Mm-hmm.
Blurbs Day.
Happy Blurbs Day.
So I've got some.
You're super handsome on the site, too. Very professional.
Mm. Thank you.
You have like these professional – you're wearing a suit, I believe?
It wasn't a suit, but it was a vest with a nice blue shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. My website is very professional.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd like
to – Oh, my God. This dude does the best Flanders.
Yeah. Sorry. I can't turn it off now.
I usually shorten professional to pro.
Mm.
It's mm-hmm. quick.
Yeah
right. Easy. Think of all the time you save. Like those 1 seconds between songs that's been killing all of our momentum. All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening, everybody. We are going to be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. So tune in for that. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. May the rains stop before my basement floods. It's the classic Irish goodbye. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
power out.